This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Australia is a land of many cultures and languages, and we are all the better for it. And this week is Harmony Week, and I wanted to deep dive into a culture that perhaps we don't know a whole lot about. And our good friend Alice Slavsky is on the line with me this morning. She's a chef, former MasterChef contestant, and the author behind the wildly popular cookbook In Praise of Veg. Alice arrived in Australia when she was 7 years old from the country of Georgia. And she joins me on the line to talk all about it. Good morning, Alice.
Good morning, Sam. I love how every time we talk, you call me a chef. It makes me feel very professional. I would very much call myself a home cook, but I like it. I'll take chef. Chef from you.
You know what? Compared to you, I'm not a chef. You are a chef. Look, Georgia is a very small country that a lot of people may not have been to or even heard of. Where is it and what is it like?
Georgia is, it's in Asia Minor. So it's between Russia, Asia, and the Middle East. Mm. And it's on the spice trail. It's a very small country. It's very hilly, green. There's a story about Georgia that I love out of Dara Goldstein's book, The Georgian Feast. If this conversation piques your interest, that's the book that you need to go to for Georgian food info and culture. But she talks about the day that God was giving out pieces of land and the Georgians were too busy eating and drinking and feasting to turn up. So at the end of the day when God was going home, the Georgians came over and said, "Hey, where's our land?" And he said, "Oh, you missed it." And they said, "Oh, well, we had a great time anyway, you know."
Yeah, right.
And so impressed was he with the way that they treated the situation that he gave them the piece of land that he was holding back for himself. And that is how Georgians ended up in the land of milk and honey. So, you know, I think that there would be some people saying, I'm pretty sure that the land of milk and honey is a little bit further along into the Middle East. But for me, growing up in Georgia, that very much was fertile, full of flavor, full of spice, full of fresh produce. Fresh produce markets. When I read that, I actually wept because I think it very much validated the way that I feel about the country.
Oh, it's really special. When you moved to Australia, you were 7 years old. I'm guessing you didn't know much English at that point.
I spoke Russian. I spoke Georgian. I spoke a little bit like yes, no, because my grandmother actually was an English teacher. So my parents spoke obviously enough English to get by. But for me, going to school, I was super ESL. I didn't know a word of English. I actually learned the language by watching Play School and The Bold and the Beautiful, which is probably why my accent is a little bit two parts Aussie, one part American.
Is that also why you stare off into the distance all the time?
It's so true, yes. Yeah. And, you know, why I have a propensity for people with dramatic names like Thor and Rich.
Was it hard, though, then to then not only pick up English but also settle into the Australian community?
Thankfully, it wasn't as hard because when you're that young, your neuroplasticity is through the roof. So I was able to sponge up the language, sponge up the culture. My palate hadn't developed yet, you know, that my actual physical palate of my mouth, so or my food palate, I suppose. But so that's why I don't have an accent. But my brother, who was 14, he still sounds like he is from somewhere else. So I think I've been able to assimilate a lot more because people, until they read my surname, they just assume, you know, I'm Alice Smith or something a bit more kind of run of the mill. So I think I did a very good job of mimicking what I thought being an Australian meant. So I saw other kids with Vegemite and I thought, oh, okay, that's something that I need to get into. Took a big spoonful, of course, fell into the trap. you know, I played a lot of sport. I found an old cricket set in the garage of the house that we were renting when we first arrived. So it was a lot of was culture shock, that's for sure. And I think it's taken me a long time, actually. You know, I sort of put those memories away into my little storage container of my mind. And it's only in the last few years, actually, I think also particularly since becoming a parent, that I've started to want to reconnect with my culture really deeply so that I can continue to impart and gift my daughter Hazel with that culture too.
Many of us know you as Alice, the vegetable lover and the home cook, but not many of us know that you're actually trained as an English teacher.
Yes, well, which was, I know that sounds quite unusual, doesn't it?
Well, was that an unusual journey when it's not your first language to then become an English teacher in Australia?
There's actually something to be said for English being your second language because I think it gave me a different understanding and appreciation of the language. I love wordplay. I love why a word has been chosen or, a prefix and a suffix. And there's a real lyricism to every language, but within English, particularly when you're looking at the way that it's developed and evolved with borrowing words from other languages as well, all of that etymology to me is very fascinating. I fell into being an English teacher because I was studying creative arts and I was very much looking at film criticism, at theater, at creative writing, expressing myself creatively. And then I realized towards the end of the degree that I would probably not find myself gainfully employed with such a wishy-washy, fluffy degree. So I ended up doing, tacking on a Bachelor of Teaching, and because of what I'd already studied, English and drama were actually the two methods that they thought I would get away with. And I ended up being the head of humanities, so history and geography, as well as teaching English at a top tier school in Melbourne. And I actually think that, again, being from somewhere else, having traveled a lot, I had a different insight into history and geography that I could share with the students in my care.
Alice, we all know that food is a big part of your life. Did that food journey begin in Georgia? And what are the kind of the best dishes out of Georgia that you keep eating or you keep taking with you?
100%. I think I was born, asking what's for dinner. My family has always been very much a foodie family. I wouldn't say we're foodies. I would say that we're just people that love food. I think the word foodie has been co-opted and bougified a little bit too much for the way that we think about food, but we're always talking about food. My parents are always, whenever my parents are academics, so we traveled a lot when I was a kid. And so whenever we went to a new place, we would go to that place's market or even supermarket just to see what the lights were there. Georgian food is a real melting pot of the fact that it's on the spice trail, that it has the lush green growth of vegetables, lots and lots of delicious sort of Mediterranean style vegetables, I suppose. We used a lot of tomatoes, eggplants, a lot of coriander, bringing in, fresh coriander and ground, so bringing in that Middle Eastern element. There is also a real impact on Georgian food from Asia, both from India and from China and the Mongols. So when the Huns were coming through Georgia, they left Xiaolongbao behind, or a version of, called khinkali, which are like giant Georgian dumplings the size of your palm, Sam.
Wow. So, I've got big hands too. So
yes. So, and the way that they're eaten is that you actually flip them over, you take the tip, flip it over, bite into it and suck out the soup inside and then eat the mince. And you leave the little tips behind and people count how many tips you have left over. And that is, it's a competition to see who's got the biggest appetite. The other dish that I would definitely recommend if you are exploring Georgian food is khachapuri, which is a Georgian cheese pie. I could wax lyrical about this dish. There's actually a version of it in Praise of Veg with silver beet and cracked egg sort of in the middle of it. There are over 26 different versions of khachapuri depending on the region of Georgia that you're in. And my favorite is the one that I've chosen for the book, which is an ajarski, an ajaruli khachapuri is what it's called. And it looks like a boat because it was baked near the port, and the egg is baked in once the rest of the dough is baked. So the egg is still runny. And so you dip the bread into this cheesy, eggy mix. And I tell you what, angels sing when you eat that dish. It's truly such a delight. And the best version of khachapuri that I've ever tasted was, we went back to Georgia after 25 years and we tasted it was up on the top of the hill near the carousel, near the Ferris wheel, khachapuri on a skewer. Imagine a shish kebab, but skewer of cheese wrapped around a yeasty dough and then cooked over charcoal.
Wow.
So it's, I know, melty cheese in the middle, smoky, doughy bread on the outside. The best. Delicious.
I need a bib. Georgia, you got a bib? She needs a bib too, out the other side of the glass.
I love that your producer's name is Georgia too.
I know. It's perfect. It's perfect, isn't it? Georgia needs a bib for her Georgian food. Look, I think food can often be, the gateway to talking about different cultures and experiences. Mm. How have you been able to use food to tell people about your culture from Georgia and your upbringing there?
I've always used food to connect with people. Because it is such an easy way. Break bread with a person, have a meal with a person, and you'll be able to understand them and empathize with each other much more. It's also really, because I love delicious food, I love finding out about other people's cultures and finding out what they're cooking and how I can cook it better, with their tips. So with Georgian food, I didn't really cook Georgian food aside from at home with my parents until MasterChef, when I realized, hey, this is actually something quite special and unique about me. So that's when I bought that copy of the Georgian Feast. That's when I started cooking dishes like khachapuri. And interestingly, those were the dishes that I didn't do as well on, because I think that I was just so emotional, I guess, when I was cooking them. Because not only does food bring people together, I think food brings something out in people that's an unconscious kind of, it's that deep longing, I suppose, for that place. So I definitely can't wait to go back to Georgia and visit again. You know, we were planning a trip before the world changed. So I can't wait. And the thing that I love the most is that I have included Georgian recipes in Praise of Veg. I'm really proud of that, because it's a small country and I get emails from people from all over the world, Georgians from all over the world saying, you know, madlob, thank you for including our culture in this book, sharing it with the world.
That's so awesome, Alice. Well, look, Alice Slavsky, thank you so much for teaching us about Georgia on Hope Breakfast this morning. And you can follow Alice on socials at Alice in Frames or at aliceinframes.com. And the book, of course, In Praise of Veg, is out now. Thank you so much, Alice, for teaching us all about Georgia, and happy Harmony Week.
Yes, thank you very much for having me as always, Sam, and happy Harmony Week.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.